Welcome to this glorious new morning. Don't forget to vote in this important United States of America election for the future of the country. Today, I believe that there should be an option for the priests and for the mass to celebrate a special mass for the election, because it only doesn't come around very much. I will try to find the special prayer so that we can pray it too here. In any case, I'm glad to have you here. You know, in my community, I'm actually something equivalent to a third order within the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. We actually are encouraged to pray the office of the dead during November, at least for 7 days, but I'm not going to subject you to that because I want to keep you able to pray the psalms that are in the official universal office. Plus, we have one that's good for spiritual warfare, which should be good for today's events, for Tuesday. So we will begin the office of readings with the invitatory. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. God, come to my assistance. Help us to pray together worthily and with supernatural love and merit. Your grace. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. Psalm 67. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples, you guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship our mighty King and Lord. O Christ, you share the Father's light. Yourself, the light from light, our day. We interrupt the night with song. Come, help us, Lord, and hear our prayer. Remove the darkness from our minds, and hordes of demons put to flight. Drive far from us all drowsy sleep, lest sluggish hearts be overcome. And so, O Christ, be merciful to us and to all believing hearts, that what we ask in psalm and hymn may profit us who sing your praise. O Christ, to you, most loving King, and to your Father glory be, one with the Spirit Paraclete from age to age evermore. Amen. Let God arise, let his enemies flee before him. Then we're going to pray Psalm 68, which many exorcists actually say is a very powerful spiritual warfare prayer. Let God arise, let his foes be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is blown away, so will they be blown away. Like wax that melts before the fire, so the wicked shall perish at the presence of God. Let God arise, let his enemies flee before him. But the just shall rejoice at the presence of God. They shall exult and dance for joy. The singers, oh, sing to the Lord. Make music to his name. Make a highway for him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice in the Lord. Exalt in his presence. Let God arise. Let his enemies flee before him. Father of the orphan, defender of the widow, such is God in his holy place. God gives the lonely a home to live in. He leads the prisoners forth into freedom, but rebels must dwell in a parched land. Let God arise, let his enemies flee before him. You went forth, O God, at the head of your people. When you marched across the desert, the earth trembled. The heavens melted at the presence of God, at the presence of God, Israel's God. Let God arise, let his enemies flee before him. You poured down, O God, a generous rain. When your people were starved, you gave them new life. It was there that your people found a home, prepared in your goodness, O God, for the poor. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Take a moment of sacred silence, or maybe say a Hail Mary at this moment, or come to a moment of sacred silence to do your own prayer. But that was a prayer. Let God arise, let his enemies flee before him. Antiphon 2. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. And this is part 2 of Psalm 68. The Lord gives the word to the bearers of good tidings. The Almighty has defeated a numberless army. And kings and armies are in flight, while you were at rest among the sheepfolds. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. At home, the women already share the spoil. They are covered with silver as the wings of a dove, its feathers brilliant with shining gold, and jewels flashing like snow on Mount Zabon. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. The mountains of Bashan are mighty mountains. High-ridged mountains are the mountains of Bashan. Why look with envy, you high-ridged mountains, at the mountain where God has chosen to dwell? It is there that the Lord shall dwell forever. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. The chariots of God are thousands upon thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai to the holy place. You have gone up on high, you have taken captives, receiving men in tribute, O God, even those who rebel, into your dwelling, O Lord. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. May the Lord be blessed day after day. He bears our burdens, God our Savior. This God of ours is a God who saves. This God of ours is a God who saves. The Lord our God holds the keys of death, and God will smite the head of his foes, the crown of those who persist in their sins. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depth of the sea. Then your feet will tread in their blood, and the tongues of your dogs take their share of the foe. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Just good to note that St. Paul actually cites this part in the Greek translation. You've gone up on high, you've taken captives, receiving men in tribute, O God. As part of his reflection on Christ's descent and his mission of salvation to everyone, to the ends of the earth. So that's a good thing to remember. This is also a sign of divine mercy. Our God is a saving God. He, the Lord, holds the keys of death. Antiphon 3. Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God. Make music in honor of the Lord. They see your solemn procession, O God. the procession of my God, of my King, to the sanctuary. The singers in the forefront, the musicians coming last, between them maidens sounding their timbrels. Kingdoms of earth sing praise to God, make music in honor of the Lord. In festival gatherings, bless the Lord. Bless God, O you sons of Israel. There is Benjamin, least of the tribes, at the head. Judah's princes, a mighty throng. Zebulun's princes, Naphtali's princes. Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God, make music in honor of the Lord. Show forth, O God, show forth your might, O God, which you have shown for us. For the sake of your temple, high in Jerusalem, may kings come to you bringing their tribute. Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God, make music in honor of the Lord. Threaten the wild beast that dwells in the reeds, the bands of the mighty and the lords of the peoples. Let them bow down, offering silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Princes will make their way from Egypt. Ethiopia will stretch out her hands to God. Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God, make music in honor of the Lord. Kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, praise the Lord who rides on the heavens, the ancient heavens. He thunders his voice, his mighty voice. Come, acknowledge the power of God. His glory is on Israel. His might is in the skies. The Lord is to be feared in his holy place. He is the Lord, Israel's God. He gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise your mighty power, transcending all the natural powers, Father. Kingdoms of earth, sing praise to God, make music in honor of the Lord. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying. He speaks of peace for his people. All right, so we prayed the scriptural prayers, which were actually not readings, but actual prayers that we recited and tried to make our own. Now we're going to switch to the part where we actually do have readings, where God is supposed to speak and educate us. So we're going to read from the first book of Maccabees. This is just, they have taken excerpts from several different places in chapter 2, so they've removed some verses, but it should be most of chapter 2. In fact, let's read all of chapter 2. That's an option that we have. In those days, Matthias, son of John, son of Simeon, the priest of the family of Jabarath, left Jerusalem and settled in Modian. He had five sons: John, who was called Gedea, Simon, who was called Thedissa, Judas, who was called Maccabees, Eleazar, who was called Avarin, and Jonathan, who was called Apaphas. When he saw the sacrileges that were being committed in Jerusalem, in Judea and in Jerusalem, he said, "Woe is to me! Why was I born? To see the ruin of my people, the ruin of the holy city, to dwell there as it was given into the hands of enemies, the sanctuary into the hands of strangers. Her temple has become like a man disgraced, her golden vessels carried off as spoil, her infants murdered in her streets, her youths by the sword of the enemy. What nation has not taken its share of her realm and laid her hand on her spoils? All her adornment has been taken away. Once free, she has become a slave. We see our sanctuary laid waste, our beauty, our glory. The Gentiles have defiled them. Why are we still alive?" Then Matthias and his sons tore their garments, put on sackcloth, and mourned bitterly. The officers of the king in charge of enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modian to make them sacrifice. Many of Israel joined them, but Matthias and his sons drew together. Then the officers of the king addressed Matthias, "You are a leader. an honorable and great man in this city, supported by sons and kindred. Come now, be the first to obey the king's command, as all the Gentiles and Judeans and those who are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons shall be numbered among the king's friends, and you and your sons shall be honored with silver and gold and many gifts. But Matthias answered in a loud voice, although all the Gentiles in the king's realm obey him, so that they forsake the religion of their ancestors and consent to the king's orders, yet I and my sons and my kindred will keep to the covenant of our ancestors. Heaven forbid that we should forsake the law and the commandments. We will not obey the words of the king by departing from our religion in the slightest degree. As he finished saying these words, a certain Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modian, according to the king's order. When Matthias saw him, he was filled with zeal. His heart was moved, and his just fury was aroused. He sprang forward and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he also killed the messenger of the king who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus he showed his zeal for the law, just as Phinehas did with Zivereth, son of Zilu. Then Matthias cried out in the city, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and who stands for the covenant follow me." Then he and his sons fled to the mountains, leaving behind in the city all their possessions. At that time, many who sought righteousness and justice went out into the wilderness to settle there, they and their children, their wives, and their animals, because misfortunes pressed so hard on them. It was reported to the officers and kings and soldiers of the king who were in the city of David in Jerusalem that those who had flouted the king's order had gone out to secret refuges in the wilderness. Many hurried out after them, and having caught up with them, camped opposite and prepared to attack them on the Sabbath. The pursuers said to them, "Enough of this. Come out and obey the king's command, and you will live." But they replied, "We will not come out, nor will we obey the king's command to profane the Sabbath." Then the enemy attacked them at once, but they did not retaliate. They neither threw stones nor blocked up their street secret refuges. They said, "Let us die in innocence. Heaven and earth are our witnesses that you destroy us unjustly." So the officers and soldiers attacked them on the Sabbath, and they died with their wives, their children, and their animals, to the number of 1,000 persons. When Matthias and his friends heard of it, they mourned deeply for them. They said to one another, If all we do as our kindred have done and do not fight against the Gentiles for our lives and for our laws, they will soon destroy us from the earth." So on that day they came to this decision, "Let us fight against anyone who attacks us on the Sabbath, so that we may not all die as our kindred died in their secret refuges." Then they were joined by a group of Hasdians, mighty warriors of Israel, all of them devoted to the law. And all those who were fleeing from the persecutions joined them and supported them. They gathered an army and struck down sinners in their wrath and the lawless in their anger. And the survivors fled to the Gentiles for safety. Matthias and his friends went about and tore down the pagan altars. They also forcibly circumcised any uncircumcised boys whom they found in the territory of Israel. They put to flight the arrogant, and the work prospered in their hands. They saved the law from the hands of the Gentiles and of the kings, and did not let the sinner triumph. When the time came for Matthias to die, he said to his sons, "Arrogance and scorn have now grown strong. It is a time of disaster and violent wrath. Therefore, my children, be zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of our ancestors. Remember the deeds that our ancestors did in their times, and you shall win great honor and an everlasting name. Was not Abraham found faithful in trial, and it was credited to him as righteousness? Joseph, when in distress, kept the commandment, and he became master of Egypt. Phinehas, our ancestor, for his burning zeal, received the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Joshua, for exercising his commission, became a judge in Israel. Caleb, for bearing witness before the assembly, received an inheritance in the land. David, for his loyalty, received a throne of everlasting kingship. Elijah, for his burning zeal for the law, was taken up to heaven. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishaiah, for their faith, were saved from the fire. Daniel, for his innocence, was saved, delivered from the mouths of lions. And so consider this from generation to generation, that none who hope in heaven shall fail in strength. Do not fear the words of sinners, for their glory ends in corruption and worms. Today exalted, tomorrow not to be found. They have returned to dust, their schemes have perished. Children, be courageous and strong in keeping the law, for by it you shall be honored. Here is your brother, Simeon, whom I know is a wise counselor. Listen to him always, and he will be a father to you. And Judas Maccabeus, a mighty warrior from his youth, shall be the leader of your army and wage the war against the nations. Gather about you all who observe the law and avenge your people. Pay back the Gentiles what they deserve and observe the precepts of the law. Then he blessed them, and he was gathered to his ancestors. He died in the year 146 and was buried in the tombs of his ancestors in Modian. And all Israel mourned him greatly. End of reading 1. So I know that perhaps was a longer reading, but usually I like to get the full reading in if I can. And that perhaps the reason why the church excerpted was not so much in the interest of time as to get some of the brutal passing things that we don't practice anymore, such as the first forced circumcision and some of the warrior stuff out of that reading. But we're going to have a reading from the tradition of the church that helps us to meditate on that and apply it not to the time of warrior methodology and warrior, kind of a brutal time, but to our time. The Christian duty of working for peace, a reading from the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the Modern World of Vatican II. Christians should cooperate willingly and wholeheartedly in building an international order based on genuine respect for legitimate freedom and on a brotherhood of universal friendship. This is all the more urgent because the greater part of the world still experiences such poverty that in the voices of the poor, Christ himself can be heard crying out for charity from his followers. There are nations, many of them with a majority of Christians, which enjoy an abundance of goods, while others are deprived of the necessities of life, suffer from hunger, disease, and all kinds of afflictions. This scandal must be removed from among men for the glory of Christ's church and its testimony to the world. Are the spirit of poverty and the spirit of love. Christians, especially young Christians, deserve praise and support when they offer themselves voluntarily in the service of the other people and other nations. Indeed, it is the duty of all God's people, with bishops giving a lead by word and example, to do all in their power to relieve the sufferings of our times, following the age-old custom of the church in not giving only what they can spare, but also what they need for themselves. Without being uniform or inflexible, a method of collecting and distributing contributions should be established in which each diocese and nation, and on a worldwide level, wherever it seems appropriate, there should be joint action between Catholics and other Christians. The spirit of charity, far from forbidding prudence and orderliness in social and charitable action, in fact demands them. Those intending to serve the developing countries must therefore undergo appropriate and systematic training. In order to foster and encourage cooperation among men, the Church must be present and active in the community of nations. It must work through its own public organizations, with the full and sincere cooperation of all Christians in their one desire to serve all mankind. This end will be more effectively achieved if the faithful are themselves conscious of their human and Christian responsibilities and seek to awaken among those in their own walk of life, a readiness to cooperate with the international community. Special care should be taken to give this kind of formation to young people in their religious and secular education. Finally, it is to be hoped that in carrying out their responsibilities in the international community, Catholics will seek to cooperate actively and constructively with other Christians who profess the same gospel of love, and with all men who hunger and thirst for true peace. I also forgot the responsory prayer, which was for the biblical reading was, "Remember the deeds of our ancestors in their own times, and you shall win great honor and everlasting fame. My children, be courageous and strong in your obedience to the law, for by it you shall be glorified, and you shall win great honor and everlasting fame." Responsory prayer for the Vatican II reading. "See, I am coming from the south. I, the Lord your God, will visit you in peace. I will look upon you with favor. I will make you fruitful and numerous to fulfill the covenant I made with you. I, the Lord your God, will visit you in peace." Special election prayer for Mass, collect prayer for elections. As I said, there should be a special Mass, I believe, or some, if I remember correctly, some type of special prayer the Church has in the liturgy. So I've chosen a similar prayer from the liturgy for Thanksgiving Day to be our collect. That's a good thing to know about the office, that you can pray any collect from the Mass within the office. Father all-powerful, your gifts of love are countless, and your goodness infinite. As we come before you on this election day in the United States, with gratitude for your kindness, open our hearts to have concern for every man, woman, and child, so that we may share your gifts in loving service. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us praise the Lord and give him thanks, and that is the end of our office. So again, many things could be said, again, about the violence in the first reading, about some of the things. It's just good to remember that divine revelation doesn't immediately force everyone to become a canonized saint, but rather Christ reveals to us a new level, a new expectation of holiness and of patience, but also that these were brutal times and both sides were brutal. So, you know, there's parts in the Catechism that talk about the end times. I also recommend you read about Catholic social teaching. In fact, we have a resource for that. We have a class that we recently taught on Catholic social teaching with a view toward today. So I'm going to just sign off. Maybe we can show you the Rumble link or something later on.